Ye tidings, Cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tomila Falcha Rotensha. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. This is the first June ever in my life that I feel this is summer. For my entire life, my mind has been, for all the world, programmed since my primary school days to believe that summer only begins in July, when we got the holidays. And so effective and powerful has that program been, that it is only now, this very June of 2018, that I have the very real feeling that this is summer, that it has been so with the last 3 weeks or so, and that it will continue on throughout July and a little beyond. How came this program to have disappeared, no longer having a hold on me, though every year I have fought against it, trying to convince myself it is summertime in June? Up to now, the program had always been winning out. How desperate it is to have the mind be so controlled and programmed for years and years by some set thought that was deliberately planted there at the dawn of my youth. How desperate and awful a thing to have done to me. I wonder how many other programs and likeness were there implanted in my mind. Are they still there, ever subtly active or even waiting to become active? Howsoever, yea, it is summertime in my own time. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, goodness was his way, greatness in goodness. This was his strength, a strength found in gale force winds blowing through oak trees or in gentle breezes about 3 day life flowers along by streams. He was never bothered by how long the night took to become a new day, a new day to become a new night. The seasons and himself he saw as ever coming, ever present and ever going. He excelled being in harmony with this ever coming, this ever present and this ever going. Thoughts came in his mind of their own accord, dwelling for his perusal momentarily there in its mid-air. He would say that there is no time, no temporal or eternal time, when nature is absent from us, no time when we are absent from nature. This knowing was the constant source of wonderment and joy for him. And he would say that he felt nature to be of the same wonderment and joy with respect to himself. Nature was at one with him, and he with nature. It used to irritate him that the Druids and the Christians were always groaning away about something or other, always grumbling. It was a way of life with them. Joy seemed never to come to them. Even with the dawning of a new day, it wasn't with them. They would see his wonderment and joy in his countenance and gait, and hear the voice of his smiling in their ears, but they choose not to let them affect a change in them. They simply couldn't comprehend smiling to be the eloquence of joyfulness, and assured confidence the strength of bones and sinews. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from As You Like It, Tao Dai Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from As You Like It. Now, my co-mates and brothers in exile, hath not old custom made this life more sweet than that of painted pomp? Are not these woods more free from peril than the envious court? Here feel we but the penalty of Adam, the season's difference, as the icy fang and coldish chiding of the winter's wind, which, when it bites and blows upon my body, even till I shrink with cold, I smile and say, "This is no flattery. These are counsellors that feelingly persuade me what I am." Sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in his head. And this our life exempt from public haunt, find tongues in trees, books in the running brooks, sermons and stones, and good in everything. I would not change it. Happy is your grace that can translate the stubbornness of fortune into so quiet and so sweet a style. Come, shall we go and kill us venison? And yet it irks me the poor dappled fools, being native burghers of this desert city, should in their own confines with forked heads have their round hunches gored. Indeed, my lord, the melancholy jax grieves at that, and in that kind swears you do more usurp than doth your brother that had vanished banished you. Today my lord of Imms and myself did steal behind him as he lay long under an oak whose antique roots peeps out upon the brook that brawls along this wood, to the which place a poor sequestered stag that from a hunter's aim had taken a hurt did come to languish, and indeed, my lord, the wretched animal heaved forth such groans that their discharge did stretch his leathered coat almost to bursting, and the big round tears coursed one another down his innocent nose in piteous chase. And thus the hairy fool, much marked of the melancholy jackass, stood on the extremest verge of the swift brook, augmenting it with tears. But what said jackass? Did he not mortalize in this spectacle? Oh yes, into a thousand similes. First for his weeping into the needless stream, "Poor dear," quoth he, "thou makest a testament as worldlings do, given thy sum of more to that which had too much. Then being there alone, left and abandoned of his velvet friends, 'tis right," quoth he, "thus misery doth part the flux of company." Anon a careless herd, full of the pasture, jumps along by him, and never stays to greet him. "Aye," quoth Jackass, "sweet on you, fat and greasy citizens, 'tis just the fashion. Wherefore do you look upon the poor and broken bankrupt there?" Thus most invectively he pierced through the body of the country, city, court, yea, and of this our life, swearing that we are mere usurpers, tyrants, and what's worse, to fright the animals and to kill them up in their assigned and native dwelling place. "And did you leave him in his contemplation?" "We did, my lord, weeping and commenting upon the sobbing deer. Show me the place. I love to cope him in these sullen fits, for then he's full of matter. I'll bring you to him straight." Tao Dai Jing, Installment 22. Be bendable, you will assure wholeness. Be wronged, you will be proven right. Be empty, you will be filled. Be worn out, and you will be renewed. The scanty deserves to gain, the superfluous becomes lost. Thus the sage insists on recommending the true one for the world to model after. A person sees clearly because he or she doesn't claim self-righteousness. A person gets credit because he doesn't boast his merit. A person has longevity because he doesn't claim importance. Therefore I say that whosoever gives up a contest, there will be no one who can compete with him or her. The ancient epigram goes like this: "Be bendable, you will assure the wholeness." Is this an airy saying? Actually, this saying has already preserved many people. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" Two young men, one of 18, the other 19, the younger a shepherd, the older a prince, happened to be having a conversation. The prince spoke, saying, "To be of great wealth, have many wives, sons and daughters, is how I want to be."
"Not me, Your Highness."
"Why so?"
"Great wealth only brings with it headaches over how to protect it. Having little is to be preferred. Having many wives would be quite exhausting. What would I be doing with having many sons and daughters? How could I adequately care for each one of them?"
"All of these excesses of which you speak, Your Highness, are not at all inviting to me. Better to have just one woman to trust in and to love completely, and that woman would always remain my lover, though she be my wife, that I would always remain her lover, though I be her husband, and have children enough in number that we could best provide for each one of them equally. If I had untold riches, I would have no problem adequately having all my children taken well care of for me. I could have as many wives as I wish, and I would have it regulated so that it wouldn't be exhausting on me."
"How would that, Your Highness, be anything different from, say, the ram there in the field with all those ewes, or a rooster with a whole run of hens?"
"I suppose there is little difference when I come to think of it. Would not the ram or the rooster consider you to be most pitiful?"
"What do rams or roosters know about trust and love, Your Highness? The swans and ducks there over the way are nearer in understanding to the value of being with one alone throughout the fullness of their time."
"Ah, I prefer the bull and rooster's way of life. No attachments, just pleasure whenever, and keep moving on."
And along came a third young man, and he was of some 22, and with learning of their conversation he spoke, saying, "Who needs both your ways? I would prefer to be of rams and rams, roosters and roosters. From these would I take myself a man, have that man be my wife, or I be his wife."
And the shepherd knew this not right to be, not natural to be, and was about to say something, when just then along came another man, he being of some 25, and with learning of their conversation spoke, saying, "I would have no man be my wife. I would merely have any man at all with me who would be willing to be for the moment that would be in it. You might say, I would be a ram in a field of rams, or in a run of roosters a rooster."
And the shepherd, with hearing all these troubling things for him, left from out of the presence of these three, and departed the landry. Journeying he did into the hills, there to be contentedly dreaming away of the lover he would one day hope to meet. Together there would as lovers ever be, he and she. And there would have a family of some 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 or more maybe, happy in living away naturally.
In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, ever and without wavering, will you be walking in your own integrity, having every confidence in yourself.
All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet, via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticClosetDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself, by way of your past, by way of your present and by way of your future. Slán agus mBunachtlat.